Victoria's overnight COVID-19 count has risen yet again, and Premier Daniel Andrews has gone to the lengths of locking down suburbs in an attempt to deal with what many are saying could be a second wave. I spoke to Professor Jerry Fitzgerald, a public health expert from QUT, and asked him whether this was the right strategy.
The basic principle of this is that if I catch a disease and then I go on to a farm in Western Queensland where I don't see anybody for 3 weeks, I'm not going to spread it to anybody. On the other hand, if I'm the ticket collector at the, Shanghai railway station, then I'm going to come in contact with thousands and thousands of people. So the way we can, it's all a numbers game, the way we can reduce the number of people who are infected is by reducing the number of people we come in contact with. And so there is no doubt if we can increase social isolation, so we've got a cluster occurring in a geographical area, if we increase the social isolation, as well as enhance personal hygiene measures, etc., then we can slow down the growth to enable the public health people to get on top of the cases. So that's the theory, and that's why we're going to have to ask, the community of Australia are going to ask the community of Victoria to take those measures again to try and stop this getting outside of where it is now.
From the point of view of the rest of Australia, though, we're remarkably down. Like, it's quite a bizarre situation, really. It's like Australia compared to the rest of the world. We're like in bubbles that feel very safe, and yet you can feel there's a movement towards asking people to wear masks in public and things like that. Is there an overreaction everywhere else except Victoria? Like, could we now relax restrictions more?
Well, I think we've just seen in Victoria how fragile it is. And so what we're, as the rest of the country is opening up, which is a reasonable thing to do, you know, if there is no community transmission, then the risk is very small. But, of course, we're not sure. And what we're not sure about is there are other little clusters like this that are occurring in other places. I mean, they're not showing up and everybody's testing extensively. But you could imagine the reason this could happen is that, groups of young people who aren't getting severe illness could be passing this amongst themselves without ever appearing. And so I think what we're trying to say is let's open up cautiously, keeping a very close eye on it, and so that if there is any, other clusters who appear, then we've got the capacity to jump on them straight away. And so I suppose that's why there's a certain level of caution in it.
You've prepared people for pandemics for many years. Is this one progressing according to any kind of pattern that you can see, or do you really not know where it's going?
Well, the problem with all of these has happened not only with this, but also with the swine flu and bird flu and SARS and all those other ones that we've had, is that firstly, they behave a bit differently, but secondly, is you're dealing with incomplete information initially. When this first came out of China, they were talking around a 4 or 5% mortality rate, and that's really scary. Remember the swine flu that was around about 2009. The first information that came out about that was an 8 to 9% mortality rate. Now, comparing that with seasonal influenza, which is 0.1%, these were scary numbers to start appearing. And it's only over time that you start seeing the asymptomatic or mildly symptomatic cases that are there in the community, and you start getting some. So we think this is probably, the evidence is that this probably has a mortality rate of 1%.
Professor Jerry Fitzgerald, public health expert at the Queensland University of Technology.